Shalom, shalom. My name is Rico Cortez, and welcome to Wisdom Untold Ministries. I'm delighted to be back with you in the air. As we see, I'm surrounded by this beautiful set here at GLC headquarters in Midland, Odessa. And I want to thank you for joining us again. And I want to thank all the supporters of Wisdom Untold Ministries and everybody who are praying to keep us going and to going all over the world teaching the Torah to the nations. I'm delighted to be a servant of Yahweh and be able to bring to you some of the good news of the gospel. Now, in this series of teachings that we're going to do, and by the way, I hope and pray that you have been enjoying yourself in the last few series of teachings that I've done. I'm getting a lot of emails from you asking questions, inquiring about, you know, the Hebraic understanding of Scripture, and I'm delighted to know that you are challenging yourself to get out of the box of theology and embracing some new understanding in the Hebraic mindset. That's basically what we're trying to do. And this series of teachings that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the differences between baptism in the theological church mindset of the church compared to the Hebraic understanding of mikvah or immersion, ritual immersion. It's a vast amount of information. I'm going to try to do my best to narrow it down. We're going to compare to Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius. Why was the immersion in the time of Peter in regards to Cornelius was so significant in regards to how to accept you as a Israelite? You know, this is very significant. We have to understand. So I hope and I hope that throughout the time that I'm teaching this, you find the way to search Scripture with us and to look in the internet for information about Hebraic understanding, Jewish mikvah immersion. We know that in the Qumran community, immersion was one, if not one of the most important things before you did anything that had to do with the Sefer Torah, with the scroll of the Torah. You will have to do the immerse in the morning. Then you will prepare your hands and your feet, just like they would do in the temple. In the temple, mikvah was significant. And throughout the week and in the future teachings, I'm going to be teaching about the temple and the tabernacle. And we'll talk about this in length. But right now, I want to continue with the main core of the teaching that I'm trying to show you. So, mikvah compared to baptism. Now, I believe that the church took a very good principle of the Hebraic understanding. The mikvah, or the baptism, as you know it in the church, baptism is nothing new. I remember talking to a friend of mine that we were having a conversation about mikvah, or in his case, baptism. And he was making the point that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Well, I had disagreements with him because I understand what mikvah really means. Immersion is a transition from unclean to unclean, from the sin of the world to the holiness and kadosh, to the holiness of Yahweh. You know, mikvah is the understanding of making a transition from the old self to the new self, from a person in the womb to being born again. That's not a new principle. Well, he was trying to tell me that if you don't get immersion, you're not going to be saved. Well, I asked him the question. When you got immersed, was the water moving? Was it living water? Or was it just a baptismal thing that is the water still, that the water is not moving? It's just standing still water. Now, this is very significant for you to know, because his whole theology was based around a principle and a context that is non-existent in the Bible, saying that if you're not immersed, you're not saved. Redemption is freely given to those who believe by the blood of Mashiach. Salvation is when you become part of Israel. You become part of Israel, you will be saved. You shall be saved, because when Messiah comes, he's going to bring peace, and we're not going to have any more of the enemies. But mikvah is a transition from the old man to the new man. And this is something that you get in rabbinical Judaism. You know, when a convert, a ger tzaddik, and a ger tashav, which is a Gentile, coming into making the transition to become a full-fledged Orthodox Jew, they go through these principles. And the thing is that the church is so far removed from the Hebraic understanding of Scripture, they take some principles so Hebraic, like mikvah, or in your case, baptism, and they completely profane it into something that is not. So I asked my friend, was the water moving? He goes, no, the water wasn't moving. Then I said, then you're not saved. Because in your theology, in the Church of Christ, in his particular branch of his theology, if you did not get baptized with water, you're not saved. You see, but the Bible says the water has to be running water. Cannot be standstill water. So when I told him that if that's the case, then he's not saved, he turned red, he got upset, and he kind of walked away. Now, am I saying that he doesn't have redemption in Messiah? That's not what I said. He is tying biblical mikvah with salvation. Biblical mikvah is a way to prepare for you to come to the presence of the Most High. Mikvah doesn't guarantee you salvation. The mikvah allows you to prepare your body, your mind, and your soul to prepare yourself in the physical. Using something physical to teach you something spiritual is using something physical to teach you how you're supposed to prepare yourself in your heart. That's what biblical mikvah is. So what we're going to understand and what we're going to study for the next few series is how to understand Hebraic understanding of a mikvah, which is immersion, ritual immersion. Okay? So let's look right into the PowerPoints. Now, as we move along, we know that the ritual immersion, let me go here real quick. I think I have the wrong slide. As we move along, we know that we have ritual immersion. Okay? As we see through ritual immersion, we know that immersion is the total submersion of the body in a pool of water. This pool and its water are precisely prescribed by Jewish law. Immersion, tevilah, is the common core component of every traditional Jewish conversion process. For male and female, adult and child, a conversion ceremony without immersion is unacceptable to the traditional religious view and understanding of Scripture. So, if you do not immerse, you are not part of the community. This is one of the tenets of Judaism. And once we understand these principles, then it will be a lot easier for us to really know the problems that are happening in the first century in regards to Cornelius. Why Peter has to encounter Cornelius? Why was it that it was so significant that when Cornelius saw that when Peter saw that Cornelius received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, a transition, and he made a very interesting comment, Peter said. Peter said, what is it that we should withhold water from him? And this is something that we're going to have to start looking into right now, because otherwise we're going to lose the whole perception. Here we go. Now, mikvah. I'm going to give you the Hebraic, the Judaism perspective of immersion first, and then we're going to try to connect it to the Brit Halashah. We're going to do this. I'm going to read you rabbinical understanding of immersion because we have to go to the source. And then we're going to go see how that compares in the Brit Halashah, the Renewed Covenant, and how Peter applied that and how Paul talked about these principles. This is very important. Remember that we are a nation of priests, according to the First Peter and according to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. So if we are a nation of priests and a holy nation, and we are Israel, remember, immersion is for Israel. You cannot consider yourself immersed and then say, I'm a Gentile. Because immersion is a transition from being a Gentile pagan into the household of Elohim. You follow? So therefore, you can't say, oh, I'm now spiritual Israel, when the word spiritual Israel does not appear in the Bible anywhere. And now you say, I am a complete different entity than Israel. Because immersion was given to Israel for a purpose and for a reason. And you find this all the way back in Mount Sinai, when Yahweh told Moses to tell the children of Israel to prepare themselves, that in 3 days they will meet them down at the foot of the mountain. Let's continue to this. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to lead you through rabbinical understanding of immersion, and then we're going to connect it to the Brit Halashah. Okay? Let's move on. Now, religious function of mikvah. Immersion is required for both men and women when converting to Judaism. Okay? It says, these were three prerequisites for a proselyte coming into Judaism. These were circumcision, baptism, and sacrifice, according to Maimonides. Okay? It speaks about this. Very significant. There is a requirement. So, if you understand that particular requirement that Maimonides speaks about, is you have to have mikvah, immersion, you have to have circumcision, and you have to have a sacrifice in temple service. In other words, when Cornelius got immersed, and when he was there, then later on he got circumcised, I guarantee you, he needed to take a sacrifice to the temple. And I remind you that the temple was still standing at the time of Cornelius. Cornelius was the first Gentile that came into the faith. But we're going to study later on to see if Cornelius was a pagan Gentile or was he already living the Torah. And the clues is already in the scripture. But if you do not understand Hebraic thought and understanding, we're going to miss it. So let's go back to the PowerPoint so I show you some more. Immersion is required after a woman has her menstrual period. Leviticus 15:28. Very significant. Now, in Judaism, they found that they did a study. And every woman that practices, in the Orthodoxy, who practices Nidah laws, the laws of separation, Nidah, they found that their cases of cancer, cervical cancer, was basically very minimal. Practicing this. This is one of the sins in the book of Hosea, in which the book of Hosea practiced sexual sins, and they also they did blood sins. And this is part of what Yahweh is trying to keep us away from. You know, to sleep a woman in her menstrual cycle is considered an unclean act. And now that we have science, we can know why. I mean, through the blood, you can get all the viruses and things like that. So you are connecting to that person. So you have to understand that the requirement that Yahweh gives us in order for us to be cleansed as a people in the mikvah, and to that separation of the nida, wasn't necessarily that, you know, you can't be with your wife, but because the creator of the universe, who created us all, who knitted you together, from the womb, he knew what is good and what is bad for you. And he prescribed commandments and statutes that are so good and so holy and so just that even science understands now the benefits of staying away from sleeping with somebody who's half menstrual cycle. It's a dirty thing to do. Okay, and if you practice that, please stop it. Because long term can be very damaging, not only for your partner, but for yourself. Let's continue. Immersion is required for pots and eating utensils manufactured by non-Jews. That's according to the Encyclopedia of Jewish Religion, page 263. Remember, I am reading you the Orthodox perspective right now, okay? Here we go. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was very significant because on Yom Kippur, mikvah took a very important place in the service of the high priest. Besides these, there are other times when it is customary to be immersed in the mikvah, such as the occasion before Yom Kippur, as a sign of purity and repentance, and before the Sabbath, in order to sensitize oneself to the holiness of the day. So what they would do, they would immerse themselves before Yom Kippur, before every service in the temple. The first thing that the priests have to do in the morning when they get up, they have to go do an immersion pool. They will go a mikvah. They will sanctify themselves. They will wash their hands. They will wash their feet. They will present themselves with clean feet, with clean hands, with a clean heart. Now they're ready for the service. See, this is very significant because the whole temple service basically outlines Yahweh's desire for holiness. Remember, when you present yourself before Yahweh, before your king, before the creator of the universe, he expects of you a level of holiness and sanctity, just as if you are coming and you're setting up a very special dinner with your wife. You're going to take her out on your anniversary, for example, and you want to go and show yourself and you want to give her the best gift. You want to dress in your best clothes. You want to go and get dressed up. You want to take a shower. You want to get groomed. You want to prepare yourself for your bride. You want to prepare yourself for your beloved one. You want to prepare yourself for the one that is going to give you that intimacy later on, based on what you've been doing. So therefore, what if you're celebrating your anniversary, but your husband has been working all day for 12 hours, and all of a sudden he shows up, and he doesn't bother to get dressed up. He doesn't even bother to take a shower, or brush his teeth, or comb his hair. Basically, he's receiving you in his dirty state. Ladies, are you going to be intimate with a man like that? Or, gentlemen, are you going to be intimate with your wife if she's not taking care of herself in the most special appointment that you have set up with her? The same principle applies in the temple. Remember, the relationship between Israel and the Creator, Yahweh, is as a marriage covenant. So therefore, before they were intimate on Mount Sinai, they told them, wash your bodies and wash your clothes. But later on, I'm going to show you how significant that is. Because in Hebrew, the Hebrew words, the root words, they connect with all the words. And I'm going to show you that the word kavod, the word glory, and the word liver, kevet, are connected. And you're wondering, why is the word glory and the word liver in the Bible are connected? Because it's the heaviest organ in your body. It's weightier. And that's connected with the Shekhinah. It's connected with the glory of the Lord. So now we're going to cover all these things, but I'm trying to establish a foundation so you understand where I'm going with this. So as we continue, we continue talking about Yom Kippur. It says, Before Yom Kippur as a sign of purity, I think I already talked about that. Let's move on. It says water symbolizes birth as an Israelite. Now, it's interesting because the same principle applies in the church. The church uses the biblical principles, the Hebraic principles, but then they change how to do it instead of maintaining the original way of doing them. Okay, let's go. It says submerging in a pool of water for the purpose not of using the water's physical cleansing properties, but expressly to symbolize a change of soul. It's a statement that one's deeply spiritual, at once deeply spiritual and immensely compelling. No other symbolic act can so totally embrace a person as being submerged in water, which must touch and cover every lesion, every strand of hair, every birthmark. No other religious act is so frightened with meaning as the one which touches every aspect of life and proclaim a total commitment to a new idea and a new way of life as it swallows up the old and gives birth to the new. So mikvah has to do with being born again. The waters of the mikvah is designed to ritually cleanse a person from deeds of the past. It's a physical symbolic gesture that Yahweh has described in order for you to understand that he has forgotten your past, that you're no longer that person that you were, in my case, 11 years ago. I made a transition. I made a commitment. I made a covenant. So therefore now, I've got witnesses to testify of the day of my mikvah. You know, it's really interesting because I take tours to Israel every year. And this past November, I took a tour of 71 people. And I like to do the tours of the land in a very different way. I like to start in Jaffa, work my way up to Caesarea, go through the Mount Carmel, go to Megiddo, then go to the Galilee, and stay there for about 3 or 4 days, go through all the places, and before we go down to the Dead Sea, before we go south to the Dead Sea, we do the mikvah by the River Jordan. Now, there is a place in which all of Christianity goes to have the mikvah. I got news for you. That was not the place that John the Immerser immersed Yeshua, or where Yeshua was immersed. By the way, I got something to tell you. John the Baptist Yohanan did not dunk Yeshua on the river. Okay, that's not how it is in Judaism. In Judaism, or the Hebraic understanding, is that you submerge yourself three times by yourself, either forward or down, never back. Either down or forward, never back. And the person is there, they are two witnesses to witness what you're saying. They're not to touch you. They're not to dunk you. That is a Christian, Catholic, Pentecostal, Baptist way of doing things. That is not a biblical way of doing things. This is your relationship, your commitment between you and the Creator. And you always go down or you go forward. Okay? And this is how it's done. So what I do, I take my tour, Brad Scott and I, we take a tour to Israel. Okay? And we teach them how to make aliyah. The word aliyah is to ascend. So what we do, we begin the tour of the land in Jaffa, exactly where Peter was when he received the dream, the vision. And then we go to Caesarea, exactly where Cornelius used to live. And then we work our way up to the Galilee. We stay there. We go through all the places. Then when we go south to the Dead Sea, we stop somewhere around the River Jordan. This year we had to do it in the traditional place that's there. But we went to a complete different isolated place. And it was empty because we don't do it on Shabbat. You know, we did it on the first day of the week. So we don't do it on Shabbat because we have a tour that we keep Sabbath in the land. And I was teaching the people before we did the mikvah on the River Jordan. I taught the people about biblical mikvah, the importance of ascending to the presence of Yahweh. So we took the tour. We made it as if we are ascending unto his presence. When we go up to Jerusalem, when we're making aliyah to Jerusalem, so we went to the River Jordan. And there people understood what they were doing. They were coming into an intimate relationship with the Creator. They were coming into a covenant with the Creator. They wanted to make a vow of letting go of the old, beginning with the new, right there in the land of Israel. Then we went down to the Dead Sea. We went south, you know, hugging down the border of Jordan and the east coast of Israel. And there we went down, we began to teach, and we went to the Dead Sea. Now, this is how interesting it is. The Dead Sea is a very peculiar way, very peculiar place. The Dead Sea joins together with the River Jordan. the River Jordan provides that sweet water, but the River Jordan, the Dead Sea, basically, the Salt Sea, better, that's the Salt Sea is just is one of the lowest places on the earth, and the Salt Sea is one of the most richly containing minerals that actually cures enzema and some of the other things. So when you have some kind of a cut or an infection or anything like that, or even if you have dandruff, or if you have anything like you go in there and you wash yourself with the waters of the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, then it starts to itch. It begins to disinfect you. It begins to take the bacteria out. It begins to take all those things out of your body. Imagine this. You go into the land and you begin a tour of the land to become cleansed before you go up to Jerusalem. You go from the lowest place of the earth, by the Salt Sea, or what they call the Dead Sea, and you wash yourself and you present yourself when you go up to Jerusalem in a clean state. That's what we're trying to do, teaching the people in the land how to come up before the presence of the Most High. You see, if the temple was standing and you do a mikvah, once you go to the Dead Sea or you go to the Salt Sea and you become immersed in the Salt Sea there, then what happens is now there's no impurities. There's no bacteria. Everything is cleansed on the outside. Now Yahweh wants the circumcision of your heart. This is very significant because the land of Israel teaches you everything in its context. See, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen is the land of Israel. Yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, there is danger in some places, just like there is in any country. Yes, you know, there are enemies there, but Yahweh is with us. The creator of the universe is our stronghold. He's our shield. So we have to possess the land. We have to go take the land because he told us it's ours and it's our inheritance. So when we go to the land, understand that there's a pattern that we need to follow. We have to present ourselves before the Creator. We know Jerusalem is no longer the holy city. It's basically surrounded by all kinds of churches that are pagan churches, all kinds of idols, and it's been profaned by underfoot by the Gentiles. But if you present yourself to Jerusalem, you do your best, and you do it the way of what? To the proper way of immersion. Now, let's continue with this. We only have a few more minutes in this section. We're going to continue the series, so I hope you stay with me and go from there. It says, the water of the mikvah is designed to fully cleanse the person from deeds of the past. I already read you a little bit of that. Let me go up a little bit more. But spiritually cleansing the convert, the mikvah water prepares him to confront Elohim, life, and people with a fresh spirit and new eyes. It washes away the past, leaving only the future. Of course, this does not deny that there were good and beautiful aspects of the past. But in the strictest religious sense, the past was only prologue to a future life as a Jew, in this case, coming from Judaism, or as a religious person, or as a believer. Okay, if we take this graphic metaphor a step further, we can sense that the mikvah is a spiritual womb, according to Rabbi Maurice Lamb. It says, the human fetus is surrounded by water. It does not yet live. The water breaks and in a split second, and the child emerges into a new world. As soon as the convert emerges, he is a Jew in every aspect. And this is where I want to start, to lead you into the next section. You see, that quote is very significant. In Judaism, they understand that as soon as you have mikvah and you come out of the water, you're no longer a Gentile. You're no longer a Ger Toshav, a Ger Tzaddik proselyte. Now you are what? You are a full Jew, according to Judaism. Now remember, I want to remind you that according to the Torah, you're not just a Jew. You are an Israelite. There are 12 tribes of Israel. So therefore, when Peter went to meet with Cornelius, and we're going to examine this a little bit later, but I want to lead you into it, okay, before my time runs out. See, Peter understood that the problem that Cornelius was having is that the system of religion in the first century would have never allowed or considered Cornelius a complete or a whole part of the community as long as he did not do circumcision first and then do the mikvah. See, there's a requirement of doing things. You have to have conversion includes circumcision, mikvah, sacrifice. There's no sacrifices anymore. So what do? they just basically teach you the Torah and whatever, your prayers, you know, but that's not the point right now. So what we need to understand is, what is Peter dealing with? See, the Pharisees of the time would have never accepted Cornelius as a full part of the household of Elohim unless he did the Brit Milah, unless he did the circumcision. And we're going to talk about that later on throughout the teaching. But you see, Peter saw that as soon as the Ruach HaKodesh fell upon him, just as it falls upon the Israelites, then Peter understood that what Yahweh has cleansed, no man can call common and unclean. And that's the whole context of the chapter. It has nothing to do with food. It has all to do with the transition of a man from a Gentile pagan worshiping Easter, Christmas, Sunday, and those things, eating the unclean, and worshiping things that are not of Yahweh, not following the commandment, not following the Torah, to making a transition. First, you got to have teshuvah. You got to have repentance. Then, you have to make a commitment and walking in the commandments. And then, once you make those steps, you make full conversion into the religion of the day, which was the Pharisaic movement, so they can consider you a Jew. By the way, the same problem happens today. And we have to deal with this issue because you do not need those Judaism's requirement of conversion for you to be considered Israel. Through Yeshua, we are all part of the household of Elohim, but we still have to conform to the biblical ways of doing immersion. Come back to the next section, okay? We're going to continue talking about biblical immersion. Shalom, shalom aleichem.